Let me tell you a story. I think some of the parents will come back in a moment. Do you know, the first time I crashed the car was at the age of 3. What happened is that we'd gone on a family holiday to Spain. Do you remember this? We went on a family holiday to Spain and driven all over the continent. And when my parents came back and my brother, my two sisters and I came back, and I was 3 years old, I can remember it quite clearly. It's amazing how certain things stand out in your mind. We went in for some lunch, and it was a nice summer's day, all around the table, and I'd been watching my father drive the car all over Spain, in gear, out gear, handbrake and everything. And I decided to get into the car, because in those days you could leave a car unlocked. So I climbed into the car, stood up on the car seat like this, 3 years old, somehow managed to get the handbrake off, and no doubt got it into neutral. And we were parked on a hill. And so what happened, being parked on a hill, the car began to go freewheeling down the hill with me driving it or steering it. And I just, I basically drove it into a wall. Thankfully, it was lunchtime, so the children that normally play at the bottom of the hill were actually having lunch with their parents. So I remember it quite vividly, and you can understand why it stands out in my mind. I hurt my chest because I hit my chest against the steering wheel. I remember being flown across the floor, then walking up the hill, going into our house where my mum and dad and there were people around the table, and I walked into the room and said, "Dad, I've crashed the car." So that was the first time. And the interesting thing is, you can understand this, there was no, I didn't get told off at all, you know. In fact, interestingly enough, I remember my father saying it was my fault, you know, in a sense that you left the car up and he'd been watching. You know, I remember it quite clearly that my father explained to my mother how that he'd left the car up and he'd been watching me, obviously, and how I did it. 17 now. Passed my driving test, I think I was about 18 years old. Now I was borrowing my mother's car for real. Driving down the road in Cardiff with a friend of mine, it was a rainy day just like today. Inexperienced driver, and you know what I'm like, I can be a bit chatty. So I got caught up in a conversation, looking at my friend as you do. Well, what happened? We approached some traffic lights that were green when I had looked, but it changed to red halfway through the conversation. How inconvenient. You'd think they'd sort that out, wouldn't you? So there you go. I'm driving, going towards the traffic lights. They go to the red. So when I turn now to look at the red, the cars have stopped in front of me. It's a raining day. I slam on the brakes, and you know those 3 or 4 seconds or however long it takes for you to hit the car in front of you? It seems like it's 40 minutes, and you really know what's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do. And I'm sliding now at considerable speed into the car in front, and fortunately, again, I had a seatbelt on, my friend had a seatbelt on, and we didn't get damaged, but it was quite a wreck. And it was the first time I'd seriously had a crash after newly learning to drive. So here's the problem. The crash is the one thing. The big challenge is this. I've got to phone my dad and tell him, "Dad, I've crashed the car." And it wasn't the days of mobile phones, so I went to the phone box, put the 10p in, and told my dad, "Dad, I've crashed the car." He came down. Now, this is, I don't know what you would expect if that was you. I mean, seriously, it was a wreck of a thing, and it was my mum's car. I don't know how you think that your father would react to that. I mean, what are you expecting? Maybe a telling off, a rebuking, a dressing down, how could you be so stupid, anger, being cross, a row, not a pleasant reaction. So it's not something that you're looking forward to. But this is what happened. My father came down immediately to the place where the crash caused. He came to help me. Secondly, he didn't shout and he didn't get angry at all. To be perfectly honest, it was like it didn't happen. I mean, it did happen, but in reaction, it was like it didn't happen. He helped me. He helped me get the car to a garage and sort it out. He organized the restoration and the repair of the car. And I don't know you, I was whether you would, in that circumstance, be expecting a dressing down, a punishment, a ban, a curfew. You can't use the car for 3 months. You've got to be in by 10 o'clock. No driving with your friend. You know, I don't know what your reaction or what you think would happen. But there was no ban. There was no punishment. There was no curfew. There was nothing to pay back. There was nothing hanging over me week after week or month after month. There was no continual getting historical about it. Do you remember when? It was never mentioned again. And to me, that was a fantastic illustration of what the grace of God is all about. And I thank you for that, because that prepared me to understand a little bit about what our Heavenly Father is like. You see, we've dedicated grace, faith, and praise. And the first thing I want to talk about is grace today. The grace of our Father in heaven is absolutely magnificent. And sometimes we can think that our Heavenly Father can be like our earthly experience in a negative way. And sometimes our earthly experience can sometimes shape our view of God, for good or ill. Thankfully, in this situation, it shaped my view of God for good. Because the way my Father treated me, his son, in that situation, was an example of what the Father treats, how he treats us. He comes to help us when we mess up, when we make mistakes, when we crash in life. He comes down to help us. He did it in the form of his son. The Father came to us in Jesus Christ to help us, not to rap our knuckles, not to rebuke us, not to kick us to touch. His first response is not one of anger, but here's my son, here's my daughter, I love you, how can I help you? How can I fix it with you? How can I restore it for you? He's not one of actually continual payback, you'll pay for this, there's something that you owe me now. I'm going to bring this up and hang this over continually. There is something about the Father that just wants to come and mix into our lives without condition, bringing his love, his help, and putting the wrong right. This is what the Bible calls grace. Let's have a look at a verse together. And it says this: we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He who is so rich, what wonderful words, rich in kindness and grace, that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered kindness upon us, along with all wisdom and understanding. Glorious grace poured out upon us, rich in kindness, showering us. Would you like to be showered with kindness today? Showered in kindness. And this is what the grace of God is all about. Grace is the undeserved favor and kindness of God. You know, when I crashed that car, it was my fault. I wasn't paying attention. I was in the wrong. I was careless. I didn't give due consideration to the consequence of the rules of the road, let alone somebody else's property, my own life, let alone somebody else's. But Father came to help, to give kindness, to restore, to fix. And this is what the Father is longing to do every day of our lives, every week of the year, every month, every year of our lives. He wants to do that for you and me. Now, some of you may be aware of this story, but a number of years ago, when Sarah and I were living in a house down the road called 856 Langevelich Road, and we just started the church, we really, really didn't have a lot of money. I mean, we couldn't afford heating. Many of our houses didn't have carpets in, and we struggled a lot. And we didn't have a lot of clothes. And the difficulty was, I can remember having a coat that was a fawn coat, and it got so dirty, we couldn't afford to buy a new coat, so we went to the market and got a 20p blue dye, put it in the bath, and now fawn coat becomes blue coat that looks as good as new. And that's the way we lived for a number of years. So clothes and food, you know, it was quite difficult getting by. So this is what happened. We couldn't dry our few clothes that we had, but we had a very good friend called Christine, she had something amazing, great invention, radiators. And she offered to actually dry the clothes that we couldn't dry because we didn't have radiators in our home. So what Sarah used to do, she used to put all the wet washing that she washed in a plastic bin liner, put it out late at night. Christine, on her way from home from work, because she was a nurse, would pick them up, put them on the radiators, and bring them back a few days later. Thursdays was putting rubbish out day. That was my job. But the problem is, I kept forgetting to put the rubbish out. Of course, a bit of a marital problem from time to time, but there we go. I keep forgetting to put the rubbish out, which was an inconvenience because we just have piles of black back bin liners. So I come home from a meeting one day, go up to the steps and see, oh, there's a black bin liner. There's the rubbish. Fantastic. Sarah's put it out for me to remind me. So I pick it up, put it in the street. Not realizing that it wasn't rubbish, but it was a bag of wet clothes that she put out for Christine. So when Sarah's waiting for the clothes to turn up days later, we suddenly realized that in my enthusiasm and as a dutiful husband, I'd thrown away half our clothes. Not a good idea. Now, the amazing thing about this is once again, Sarah didn't go off the wall, go off the handle. She was gracious. She was forgiving. She was understanding. It was amazing. Whew. Fantastic. What grace. But 2 weeks later, I come back from a meeting Thursday night. I go, oh, she's put a bin liner out, reminding me to do the rubbish. So do you know what I did? I did exactly the same thing 2 weeks in a row. Now, forgiving me once is one thing. Forgiving me twice is another. Do you know what the reaction was? She forgave again. She didn't go off the wall. She was gracious. She was kind. She was understanding. And it wasn't an issue. That is the grace. That's what the grace of God is like. You see, sometimes we can think the grace of God will forgive us once, but you've had your chance, learn from your lesson, get over it. No, the grace of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the help of God is for life. In fact, the grace of God, teaches the Bible, is like a lifetime guarantee. Peter came up to Jesus and said, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No. Not 7 times, but 77 times, said Jesus. You see, what Jesus is saying here is that the grace of God isn't just for the one-off difficulty, problem, mess-up, crash that we may have. But the grace of God is a lifetime guarantee that lasts forever and ever. That here, every day there is forgiveness, there is help, there is kindness, there is favor, there is approval, there is him rushing in to help us and fix us and restore us and put the wrong right every single day of the week. The grace of God is an infinite source of kindness and help that is available to us. And the wonderful thing about this grace of God, which is a lifetime guarantee, it's a bit like a manufacturer's guarantee if you buy a product. I mean, I bought a car some time ago, and it had a manufacturer's guarantee. The problem is the car things kept going wrong with it. Now, some of those things were just tiny things. Like, I remember the shock absorber went. Shouldn't have gone, but it did. It's not a big job, but it went, took it to the garage, they fixed it, and I didn't have to pay anything. Why? Because the manufacturer had paid for that guarantee. It was given to me by the manufacturer. Then, a little while later, the head gasket went. And when I took it into the car, into the garage to get the head gasket done, it wasn't like a little shock absorber, which is a couple hundred pounds or whatever, which was covered by the guarantee. When they said this will cost £4,000, I nearly fell on the floor. The only thing that stopped me is that I'd had a manufacturer's guarantee. The manufacturer had made provision for this thing to be covered. Now, the maker of heaven and earth and your maker and my maker, the Father who created us, as we looked earlier with that passage of scripture, in our mother's womb, he has given us a lifetime guarantee. With the product, that's you, comes a guarantee. And this guarantee is a lifetime provision of grace. And it has been paid for by the Father, and the price that was paid was Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of Man came not to serve but to be served and to give his life as a ransom. Do you see that word ransom? When you pay a ransom, you pay a ransom. The ransom might be £10 or it might be £10 million, but it's a ransom. And Jesus paid a price so that we could have a lifetime provision of grace. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? Now, sometimes I've got an iTunes account, and on the iTunes account, if I want to download a song or something, or an application, sometimes there's what we call an activation code. So you get the download, it comes onto the computer, but the thing that actually makes it work and applies to your life is this activation code or key that you have to punch in to the little square bits on the screen. Have you ever had to do that? You see, there is a lifetime of grace that is available to you. His mercy, his forgiveness, his approval, his kindness, his ability to, like the car crash, fix it when it goes wrong. In fact, the word salvation actually means to be restored. And it's like a car is fixed and put right. And each one of us, you know, we need fixing. Sometimes we have fears in our lives and God can fix that. Sometimes we have relational difficulties in our lives and God can fix that. Sometimes we have personal wounds and regrets and guilt and God can fix that. Sometimes there's anxieties and lack of confidence that sort of cripple us in our journey in life. And you know, God can fix that. And he is the fixer. He's the restorer. And that, and he does that because of his kindness and his mercy and his grace. And so grace is not only forgiveness, but it's the power of God to help us and journey through life. And it's like a download. But there's an activation code. You know, it's all there, installed, paid for by Jesus. But we just got to unlock it in our lives. So what is the activation code that unlocks the unlimited rich grace of God in our lives? So this brings onto our next little child, that brings us onto faith. Because faith is the activation code. Faith in Jesus and his work. Look what it says here in the Bible. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Isn't that great? You see, it's all there, bought, paid for, downloaded. It's a download from heaven, streamlining into your life, all ready to go. Full-on application to function well, to do life well. But we need to be able to open up the package. And the key to accessing the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, the power, the help, the restoration of God, the Father in our life, is faith. Faith in what Jesus has done, faith in his goodness, faith in his willingness, faith in his ability, faith in his power, and just relying and resting so we stand in that grace. Not just as a one-off, yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe you died on the cross to forgive me and help me. But every day, thank you that you died upon the cross to forgive me and help me. There's many situations I go into and I don't know the solution. And I just say, Lord, thank you that you died on the cross to forgive me and to help me. Will you give me grace, whether it's wisdom in a difficult situation, whether it's peace when I'm fearful, whether it's words to speak and I just don't know what to say in a difficult challenge, whether it's a decision and I got a number of decisions to make and I really don't know the right one, whether sometimes it's to forgive when I've been hurt. Thank you that you have given me grace to forgive when I'm hurt. That's sometimes the hardest, isn't it? But the book of Hebrews says this, let us not fail to, don't let a root of bitterness or unforgiveness spring up within you and fail to respond to the grace of God. The grace of God can access our hearts and we can walk in the freedom of forgiveness. Sometimes the freedom to love when we find it challenging. Sometimes when you've got young children and you just think, why did I ever do this? There's grace available to give you patience and peace in that moment when you're thinking, was this a good idea? And how do we get that? Not by willpower, not by trying hard, not by an extra effort or pulling your socks up or your yourself up by your own bootlaces, because we've all done it and we can't do it. There is a power beyond your ability that is available to you. And how do you get it? You get it by faith, believing he wants to give it to you and then allowing God to download into your life and making decisions in the light of that which are in keeping with the need that you have. Grace, rich in grace, poured grace, showered grace, lavish grace, and faith in the work and the ability and the willingness of God. And so that leads me on to my final slide. When we get this, unconditional love, unconditional approval, unconditional help, coming down to help us every day of our lives because he loves us so much, you would think, humanly speaking, we think, oh, that's great, just live as I please. Let's just do what I want to do because it's all free, paid for by the Father. No. When we really understand grace, we become so grateful and so aware of the kindness of God that it causes us to want to live every single day of our lives in a manner that brings him praise and pleases him. So now we come on to our last child, praise. And it says here, so we praise God for his glorious grace. He has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich and kind, and he is so rich in kindness and grace that he has purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Again, it says he has showered his kindness upon him. We praise God for his glorious grace. If we really understand the immeasurable amount of grace that God wants to give us and has for us, it will not cause us to live as we please. So I don't want to go and crash the car again because I'll get away with it. When you realize the grace of the Father, you so don't want to do it again. You so don't want to take him for granted. You so don't want to just carry on because you become so appreciative and you love the Father so much because of the kindness that he showed upon you, that you say, I've been touched by your love and I want to live every day for your praise now. Help me to live for you. And this is the fruit of praise. This is the fruit of grace. It causes us to live in a different way. And so when we see these little children in our church running around, grace and faith and praise. Every time you see them, I want to encourage you that let them be a message to you from the Father, that there is grace available to you every day, and you can access it through faith every day. And let it be a provocation to live every day for the praise of God. Amen?